Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own Rookie Rundown. As always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the socials at Salad Galore. That is Dallas spelled backwards with the double L, Galore. It is great to be here talking to you all post-NFL 2024 Combine time. And we got some numbers in, we got some measurements in, and we got some interviews in for a lot of prospects that we were curious as to who they were as both individuals and as athletic specimens. So if you are not paying attention, I'll give you the recap. I did do an episode prior to the NFL draft where I went over a large group of players, a total of 20, where I basically gave you certain thresholds that I was looking for these prospects that actually mattered. So it's combine questions that I actually cared about is what the name of the episode was. So I'm here for a slightly shorter episode, probably about 30 minutes in total, where I'm going to break down basically how they performed, what their testing looked like, their general RAS scores, what RAS is, and then what it means overall for how I am going to be viewing them at this time period in between now and the NFL draft. I'm not going to be going back and watching a lot of tape on these guys unless there was big question marks or big surprises on the analytics side of things for the athletic measurables. But it does help me kind of shake up my tiers a little bit. There are a couple of risers and a couple of fallers, but more so just solidifying what I expected them to do, that I basically set the thresholds for, and they either met, didn't meet, or surpassed. So yeah, this is basically what I'm going to be doing today. And then I'm going to go over a couple of combine notes on players that I did not have in my, you know, noteworthy section that I actually needed to see stuff from, just that were brought to my attention basically with what you guys are talking about in the media space right now, as well as what I saw. So we'll jump into the running backs. I'll start with the weirdest one is what I would say. So Braylon Allen didn't do a ton of testing. In fact, he did not do enough testing to give a actual RAS score for his overall athletic profile. He did ultimately give me the size and jumps that I was looking for. So the thresholds that I was looking for him and the reasons I was looking for them for is I wanted to see how big he actually was when he came into the combine and then what his explosive metrics looked like at that size. He smashed him out of the park. Okay. So my threshold for him that I wanted to see was 6'1" and 235. He was being talked at length of upwards of being 245 and almost 250. I just wanted to see him come in at 235. That's exactly what he came in at, 6'1" and a half, 235 pounds on the dot. My jump thresholds that I wanted for explosiveness at that size was 34 inches in the vert and 118 inches in the broad. He hit the broad at 118, but he did not hit the vertical. He was 2 inches short at 32. Still very fine. It's just a normal number that you would expect from a running back of that size. Wasn't super exciting is what I would say on the vertical side of things. The broad was very impressive. So I do know that there's some explosiveness there, but he did not run. I didn't really need to see the 40 time from Braylon Allen to be in on him where I currently am in my rankings. But it was kind of surprising with the class of running backs being kind of middle tier and kind of jumbled up for a lot of different people's boards, how he didn't elect to run it when it really could have helped his case. His RAS would have looked very, very, very good if it had actually been completed, just because odds are he's running in that 4.4 range at 235, which no one else in this draft class can say that they would have been able to do. So he's just my enigma. He's the orange category of didn't have a RAS, did meet the thresholds, just kind of did what I expected him to do, just kind of disappointment overall from me for not being able to see everything being tested. It's not a thing that is strictly for Braylon Allen. All the quarterbacks basically didn't test anything at this year's draft, and a lot of the wide receivers didn't do a lot of the agility stuff. So it was a common trend among players, unfortunately, but he's one that I was a little bit surprised more so than others. A guy that did not surprise me, but just really solidified where I currently had him as my RB1 in the class, Trey Benson, Florida State. Wanted to see the true size, make sure that it wasn't overinflated by Florida State, and I wanted to see what the 40 was. Came in, my thresholds, I wanted to see him at 6 foot, 220 pounds. He came in a little bit lighter at 216, but that's right around what you see from guys like Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker. That 215 to 220 range, somewhere in there is usually the play weight for a lot of these guys that are right around 5'10 to 6 foot. And then the 40 yard dash came in and smashed my expectations and what I needed to see from him. I didn't see a ton of like straight line breakaway speed. He was good enough to break off big chunk runs, but there were a couple that he was caught from behind. He's got the 4.39 speed that those two guys I mentioned from an athletic threshold standpoint, he compares extremely well to in the form of Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker. Those are his two closest combine metric matches with RAS, and he ended up with a RAS score of 97.7 percentile. So he is very, very, very high up there on the athletic testing. And just so you know how I have these guys categorized for what their RAS came out to be, which is relative athletic score, as I mentioned, it's how athletic you are based off of your size. My green light is the elite type of athletic scores. If you're anywhere in between 100% and 95%, you're an elite athletic athlete, in my opinion, from your positional group. There's a couple thousand now that have been in the combines with the RAS recorded over the last two decades. So it's a pretty good pool. You get a pretty good representation of what you should be athletically. And if you're breaking the 95th percentile, you're what I classify as elite. If you're in the 94 to 74 range, that's your medium average athlete, good, average, that type of thing. If you're in the 73 to 50, I flag you as a guy that I'm a little bit concerned about your overall athletic profile and how it's going to translate into the NFL level. And then if you're at 49% or below, I don't think that you have an athletic profile with your skill set and what you do to be relevant at the next level. So looking again at the two that I've just talked about, Braylon Allen didn't have a RAS, but I expected him most likely to fall either in that green light category or very highly up on the yellow category. Realistically, he would probably be in the 97 range as well with that 40. And then Trey Benson smacked it out of the park with a 97.7. Very, very good athletic profile. Very excited where he is, and I have no questions about his game now. I know who he is, and I think he can fill that role kind of in a very similar vein to a Kenneth Walker based off of how he plays the game and how Kenneth Walker has been used in the NFL level. A guy that did not meet the athletic threshold and actually had one of the worst athletic combine measurable testing days over the last decade and a half, Bucky Irving out of Oregon. The two metrics I wanted to see is I needed to know how fast he was and I needed to know his actual size. The actual thresholds I set for him, he could be 5'9", that's totally fine. He could be 5'8", if he really was. I needed him to be close, if not hitting the 200 mark, based off of the fact that he's not a power back, not a super big speed back. He just kind of has the wiggle to his game. And I wanted to see him at an average 4.45 40 at that height and weight combo. He came in at 5'9", which is what I needed, but he was down at 192 pounds, much lighter than most other running backs that are undersized as those scat back guys. And his 40 was abysmal at 4.55. He failed both the thresholds and his overall testing, including jumps, his height, weight, everything, his athletic agility metrics, put him in the 22nd percentile. That's worse than what Kyren Williams tested when he was coming out of Notre Dame. So it's just something to consider. It's a data point. If you're in on Bucky Irving, you can still be in on him if you like to. But I was concerned about his athletic profile and how his skill set translates to the next level. And we saw that on paper. The comp that's been going around the last couple of weeks is he kind of reminds people of Devin Singletary when it comes to the athletic profile now. I expect that to stick pretty soundly. You're probably looking at a very similar type of NFL career if he's able to catch on with certain lead work like Singletary was given repeatedly. Not super big on Bucky Irving. I'm not going to be dropping him down my ranks, but I already didn't have him very high for that exact reason. And it was just kind of a confirmation for me that he is athletically limited. Cody Schrader, another guy that did not do really what I needed him to do. I thought he would have average speed, average thresholds. I just wanted to see him hit those average thresholds. For a running back of his size with his explosion that you see on tape, I put his metrics a little bit higher than some of the smaller backs. I put him at 36 inches on the vertical and 118 inches on the broad. He didn't hit either of the jump thresholds. He was a lot less explosive and he was slow in the 40 running a 4.61. His jumps were only 30.
33 inches and 109 inches. He failed all thresholds across the board for me, and his RAS was in the 30th percentile. So he is very athletically limited, which is really sad for a guy that I thought had more pop on tape than what he was showing while he was testing. I'm not completely out of him, but I do have to go ahead and adjust my ranks. He will be sliding in my ranks now, going behind a couple of other running backs that were in that same category that tested at that average level with their RAS scores this week. The last running back that I wanted to bring up today was one of my favorite guys coming in, Michael Wiley out of Arizona. He was a split threshold result. I wanted to see what his actual size was and his bench. Unfortunately, only like three running backs actually hit the bench for some reason, so I still don't know how strong he is and still not convinced that he is strong, but he did hit both of the metrics that I needed to see. I expected him to come in at the 5'10", 210 pounds, and that's exactly what it came in at, 5'10 and a half, 210 pounds in the dot. No bench, so it's hard to see, but he did fall into that medium to good category. He's in the 81st percentile for his RAS score compared to all running back prospects at the combine since 1989. Falls into the yellow category for me. Not as explosive as I was hoping for him to be, so he's really falling into that type of category of the boom bust one cut lateral guys with quite a bit of acceleration. His splits were pretty good on the 40. His overall 40 time was meh at that size, being a 4.5 flat. So something to watch. I'm not going to be adjusting him. He's still in that like 10 to 15 range just because draft capital is really what's going to shake up that tier for me. But he is still above a guy like Cody Schrader, who just athletically did not cut it compared to a guy like Michael Wiley. Wiley did look very good on the field in drills, so that was good to see. Moving on to the wide receivers, we're going to start this off with one of my favorite guys coming in. I talked about it on length on the Dynasty Fever with Brian and Jesse last week, as well as the Dynasty War Games in last week's episode, Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. I wanted to see the thresholds for his size in his 40 to know what type of athlete he was and how big he actually was. If he was a smaller slot or if he's a guy that could be moved around everywhere. My thresholds were 5'11", 190 pounds, and I wanted just a slightly slower than average 40. A 4.48 would have been fine for me. He comes in, basically kills them both. Hits all the thresholds, comes in at 6 foot, 196 pounds, just shy of 200 pounds. He comes in with a 40 of 4.45 on it, meeting both of them in his RAS with both his jumps and with his agility metrics that he did. He's actually in the 96th percentile. 95.7% is where he fell in all wide receiver prospects, which puts him above average and sniffing, if not already in that elite category. He's got a lot of pop, and you could see it in his drills, see it on the field, and he looked so smooth in his catching drills and in his combine gauntlet drill. Very excited for Jermaine Burton. I'm doubling down on the fact that I really do think I'm going to end up with a lot of him on my teams, and he's going to be going up one tier above some guys that are very limited athletically that I didn't expect to come in limited elite. One of the biggest risers was Burton. Sorry, not risers was Burton, but one of the biggest performers at the combine was Jermaine Burton. One of the biggest snubs in the guy that no one wants to talk about, but everyone is right now, is Keon Coleman out of Florida State. The only thing I needed to see is I needed to see how fast he was. I know that he had some pop on intermediate routes. I knew that he could use some explosion to separate a good amount, but unfortunately he comes in and did not meet the threshold. I gave him a pretty wide berth. I said he could come in with a 4.55 and it would not change my opinion of him. He came in and posted a 4.6140 on his deep speed. Very concerning. I get everyone wants to point out to the gauntlet, highest speed. Everyone's bringing up the Puka Nacua comp last year with how fast he ran through the gauntlet. Cool. That's nice. He still doesn't have functional NFL deep speed, really. There's been very seldom guys that run worse basically than a 4.6. Everyone likes to bring up, well, Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.6. Larry Fitzgerald was also one of the most nuanced wide receivers we've ever seen in the NFL and coming out. So it's a different type of debate when you compare Hall of Famers to prospects, is what I always have to remind people. So I'm not telling you to be off of Coleman, but for me, Coleman not hitting this athletic threshold, coming in at the 90th percentile, so he's an average to slightly higher than average type of prospect, still just breaking that 90% threshold for all-time athletes when you look at his explosion drills. But the thing with Keon Coleman is you're going to use him on the outside. You're not going to use him as a big slot at 6'3". He needed to test better than what he tested at, which was a little bit concerning. And so for me, it's distinctly separated guys that I think
would have been roughly in a lot of people's same tiers in Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell, from him being much better athletes. And Keon Coleman is soundly at the bottom of those three in my ranks now going forward. Another guy that kind of disappointed based off of, I would say, the under the radar hype that a lot of people were putting on him, myself included, was Brendan Rice. I anticipated him to jump pretty well and to go out and run pretty well. I may have put the threshold for his running a little bit higher than most people, but I did expect him to have some speed because you saw it on tape. I put it at a 4.42 40 with jumps of 36 and 120. He actually hit the jumps of 37 inches and 120, but his 40-yard dash came in at 4.5 flat. That's fine. It's functional. It's not a 4.6. It's not super slow on the outside. He has enough speed. He's just not going to be a true deep threat for you, most likely. So he is now coming back down to earth more of as that X normal athletic gifted guy. He came in with a RAS of 87.3. So just a little bit lower explosive metrics than a guy like Keon Coleman, but quite a bit faster than Keon Coleman. So name to still pay attention to. He's got the pedigree and everything like that, but I will not be elevating him quite as high as I had him in my ranks prior to the combine, just because he didn't quite test out athletically as much as I thought he would, even though I like the tape a lot. He will go down one tier, most likely, when all things are said, into a tier with a guy like Coleman, even though game-wise, when it comes down to that for the draft time for me, even prior to the NFL draft and draft capital, I'm probably still going to be leaning a guy like Brendan Rice over Coleman on tape alone. One guy that I had more question marks than most people on was Xavier Leggett. I wanted to see what he actually tested like after coming in quite a bit smaller than he was supposed to coming in. But let me tell you, the boy blew me out of the water with his athletic testing. He's just as explosive and just as fun as everyone was saying. We knew he was smaller than expected. Need to see the athleticism. Is he elite? Is he average? He showed that he's elite. Came in with a 4.4 40 flat, jumped 38 inches on the vert and 120 on the broad. As my thresholds comes in and hits the 4.39 underneath that 4.40, jumps 40 inches and 126 inches on the broad and vertical. Met all thresholds across the bar and came in as a 99.2 percentile player. Elite of the elite metrics at a guy who measured in at 6'1", 221 pounds. If you want to lean heavily on analytics and heavily on recency bias and athleticism, Leggett's your guy, and I get why you are in on him. I would just temper expectations. I still want to see him go to a good spot. I am willing to admit I was wrong, willing to admit that I did have him too far down my list from an athletic standpoint because I didn't think he would quite hit these. He will rise a little bit, but he's still not going to be consensus ECR at that like 7 or 8 range. He'll probably be closer to 10 to 12 on my wide receiver list just because of I've seen the tape and I'm still not super in love with what I'm seeing. A guy that I do love the tape that turned out to be a decent athlete, not a super athlete, but did have some wow numbers was Malik Washington out of Virginia. Two measurements I wanted to see was the size and the 40-yard dash. The thresholds I hit for them was a 5'8", because I already knew he was small and 190 pounds. He came in, hit both of them, actually came in a little bit taller than he did even at the Shrine Bowl, measured at 5'9", flat, 191 pounds, so pretty stocky for that small build. Looks like a running back while he's out there, guys. I'm serious. And then he came and jumped out of the gym. His 40 was 2/100ths off at a 4.47 as opposed to a 4.45, but comes in and had the best vertical jump of any prospect at the combine at 42.5 inches up. The dude was climbing that ladder, and he tied for the 10th best broad jump across all positions. Not amazing on the broad jump, still respectable. His overall RAS came in at a 77.9%, and so he's in that threshold, the same type of mold of a Brendan Rice, the same type of, not mold, but same type of athletic measurables as like a Brendan Rice, right in that same threshold as Michael Wiley. Very salvageable, very serviceable. He just wasn't quite as fast as I thought he was, is what I would say. Love the jumps, not going to move him up or down anywhere. He was in that middle tier for me. He's probably going to end up in the 7 to 9 range on my end of rankings prior to the draft. Still love the tape, and he proved that he does have that explosive catch point ability, which is what I love about his game at the catch point with those verts and with those broads. a guy that I did not envision testing as well as he did, Johnny Wilson, Florida wide receiver. I needed to know how slow he was, is how I put this in the first podcast. He doesn't separate laterally at all, so it was all about, can he be a space eater deep at that big of a size? My threshold I set for him was a 4.55. If he could hit that, I would be impressed. He came in with a 4.51, very good 40. Came in, and his RAS ended up being 98.8th percentile. He measured true to form at 6'6 and a half, 231 pounds. If you can run that 4.5, the same size as like a Brendan Rice at 20 pounds heavier, very, very intriguing to me. Johnny Wilson will be a fun matchup piece at the next level. And if he falls with a good offense and replaces a guy like, I don't know, an MVS, a Gabe Davis, a big guy on the outside, an Alan Lazard, even in New York, comes in and plays that type of role, he'd be really fun with a serviceable quarterback at the next level. I'm curious to see what his draft capital is compared to a guy like his teammate in Keon Coleman. But Johnny Wilson is a name I'm going to be paying attention to. I still will have Coleman and Wilson in that same tier. It's just I put a little asterisk next to his name now and realize he's more athletic than people gave him credit for, and I should be paying attention to it. A guy that everyone anticipated being athletic, but unfortunately was more athletic than anyone even thought, and now is all anyone wants to talk about, is Xavier Worthy. I wanted to see what his 40-yard dash was and his size were. The size threshold I set was 6 foot, 170 pounds. That's pretty much the Devonta Smith mold of what I was looking for. Unfortunately, he came in a little bit shorter and a little bit lighter. He came in at 5'11", 165 pounds. The threshold was split, but boy, did that 40 pop off the field. I gave him credit at the 4.34 of being the threshold for him. He came in and hit it at a 4.21, broke the NFL all-time combine record. Really impressed with his explosive metrics and his jumps as well. Unfortunately, still not in that elite category just due to the size. His RAS is quite a bit lower than people probably think it is at 92.7 percentile. He's still in the good to great athleticism metrics of above 90, but unfortunately, he's not in the elite category because he is so slight of body. He's also not as good of a separator as the guys he's being compared to, which is always what I want to remind people that are saying, well, the Slim Reaper was really good and really tiny. He's doing really good. Tank Dell's really good. Both are really superior separators than Xavier Worthy. So comparing them is not quite the mold you want to go to, but he is very similar coming out prospect profile. I will die on this hill to a guy like John Ross. The speed's there, the combine metrics, the production in college, the injuries, it's all there. That's really what I see. It's whether or not that can translate better after a couple of years of understanding how speed can be used in the NFL versus not. I think he solidified himself as a first-round pick, but still not going to be rising him up because he did what I expected him to do. He's a little bit faster than expected. I think he's going to be above that tier for me of the just true separators like the Ladd McConkeys, Malik Washington, those type of guys underneath. But that's just due to speed, just because I anticipate him going probably in the first now. Moving on to the tight ends, the last five players on my list. First one was a guy I was concerned about his size-speed combo because I've seen pop on tape, but he looks smaller than what he was on paper. He was supposed to come in at a 6'3 and a 230 pounds tight end. He came in pretty big, 6'2, 241, a little bit shorter, but heavier. So I offset those. That would have been fine with me, but he failed that threshold. And then I had him as a 4.5 40 guy because with those explosive plays I've seen on tape, that's about what I would expect for a guy that's 240. He came in at a 4.61, the same as a Keon Coleman. Very concerning for me on that. His RAS came in at 85th percentile, so still in the good tier, but he's not nearly as explosive as a player like Chigakwankwo, Jonnu Smith. So I think you can still use him in that mold, but I'm no longer interested in him at that same type of capacity. He's going to have a really good landing spot for me to be in on him. And he was already at my tight end 6 prior to this information. That's about where he's going to be staying. A guy that was on the not up and up, but on the forefront of people's minds is what I would say is Dallin Holker out of Colorado State. I wanted to see what his explosive metrics were there because I want to know if he had any explosion at all. He's stagnant with the ball in his hand when he's on tape. He was mainly a middle underneath type of guy that was a chain mover consistently. So I just wanted to see a little bit of pop. Could he hit 33 inches? Could he hit 120 inches? He hit
Both of those showed that he had the explosiveness that I was looking for. So he's baseline, pretty average explosiveness, but his overall RAS, his speed, his strength was not as high as I anticipated. Overall size came in a little bit smaller than I anticipated. And then overall, when it came to his RAS score, he was actually in the 57th percentile. So not even remotely as good as I needed from a guy like him. So unfortunately, he is in the orange threshold, a guy that I will not be targeting unless he gets very high draft capital like his counterpart before him in Trey McBride, which I think they're very different players, and you probably shouldn't be investing heavily in a guy like Dalvin Holker. The guy that you should be replacing that with is the guy I warned y'all about both in the last basically four episodes that I've either put on or been a member of, Theo Johnson out of Penn State. Comes in, true threshold, 6'5", 266 pounds. My threshold forums were on the 40 and the jumps. I wanted to see how explosive are you? Can you prove that you're as good as you look on tape with your explosion numbers? Thresholds I set was the 4.7, because at that size, I didn't expect a super great time. I wanted 37 inches on the jump for the vertical and 120 for the broad. Broad's less important to me than the vertical is because it's a catch point type of thing. Man, did he not disappoint. Smashed all of them out of the park. Comes in at 30 pounds heavier than a guy like Keon Coleman and runs a 4.58 40. Comes in, jumps 39.5 in the vert and 125 in the broad. Thresholds met. He came in as the second most athletic based off of size tight end in NFL history at the combine, 99.9 percentile, only behind Jelani Woods because of 1/100th of a measurable on one of his splits, on the 20-yard split on the 40. That's the only reason that he's currently below Jelani Woods. People are going to be talking about Theo Johnson, rightfully so. He was already in my second tier, but he is firmly my second tight end now on the board behind Brock Bowers. I will be targeting him very heavily because I most likely will not be putting in the acquisition cost of a Brock Bowers in the first. So Theo Johnson, hello, join Jermaine Burton as probably the most rostered player on my dynasty teams going into 2024. The guy he supplanted and the guy that I gotta say, very disappointed in, probably the most disappointed, Trey Knox. I've told you guys to watch the tape. I expected better on the jumps and the bench. That's what I wanted to see. I set the same thresholds that I set for the guy in Theo Johnson with the 37 and 120 from the tight end position. Unfortunately, Trey both came in smaller than anticipated at 6'3", 235 pounds. So he was actually right around the Jaheim Bell size. But then he ended up not running the 40 because he pulled his hamstring in one of the jumps, actually. Had a little bit of a shuttle work, so he was average baseline in his shuttles. His jumps were okay, is what I would say. He hit the 33-inch, which was kind of disappointing on the vert, and his broad he did hit with a baseline of 121, but he did not do enough testing after that hamstring injury to actually improve his stock and show how fast he was. No idea exactly how fast he is, which is concerning. If I can't bump up Jaheim Bell or don't have Jaheim Bell, who actually showed me what his athletic RAS is, I can't keep Trey Knox where he justifiably was. I will be moving him down to his counterpart's tier right next to a guy like Jaheim Bell, just because they're about the same size, and hope that he runs his 40 at the pro day with a better time than what Jaheim Bell basically ran. That's where you land. Wrong on that one. Own that one completely. And we're glad that we got the athletic testing rather than a guy that just didn't test beforehand. So just chalk it up to maybe it'll be a surprise with draft capital. But I am, for the time being, slowing my roll on my boy Trey Knox and replacing it with that Theo Johnson. Good, good love. Have to end on it. I have to bring it up. Jatavion Sanders is an average athlete. Anyone who was hyping him up as a above average athlete, above average move skill position player, I don't think he's going to be what you want him to be. My comp floor to ceiling was OJ Howard, Isaiah Likely. He had basically the exact same combine as Isaiah Likely. Agility and bench. Wanted to see how strong he was, and I wanted to see how quick he was on those. The three cones that I set for him on the thresholds didn't quite hit them for the shuttle. I gave him the 4.3 quick shuttle on the 20-yard shuttle for the threshold, which is pretty average for move tight ends. He unfortunately hit the 4.32, so above that threshold. His benchmark RAS was 80.6 percentile. So pretty average, actually below Jaheim Bell on the averages on that one, which is kind of funny because I did think Sanders was pretty comparable to him. He's not in the red category, but he's only in the good and borderline pushing with the concern for his athletic measurables at his height, weight, size. And he also didn't bench, so I'm not convinced he's very strong. Really scared about him being a guy like OJ Howard or Isaiah Likely. It's the type of tight end that people hype up prior to the draft. He's probably going to go in the third or fourth round as potentially the third or fourth tight end now, based off of how some of these guys tested at the combine. And so if he doesn't fall in a really good situation, I just want to kind of cool this hype now and let you guys know that you probably shouldn't be reaching in the same capacity that you were for Isaiah Likely in that second round when he went to Baltimore. Just slow the roll, take the numbers as they will, and then reevaluate the tape, because I didn't see the pop on tape, and that was confirmed with the lack of explosion. So it's just something that everyone should go back and take a look at. But those are all the players that I mentioned prior to the combine. Got answers on all of them. Like I said, a couple of risers, a couple of fallers, but mainly just everything status quo with where they currently are. But I am going to give you a list of just different big takeaways for some other players I didn't bring on here that I think are important. The first is Jalen Wright. He solidified himself as my RB2 right behind Trey Benson with his measurables, performance, interview hype that happened after he interviewed with certain teams. The biggest thing for me is that although his total speed was not as good as guys like A-Chain last year, he beat A-Chain in his burst metrics, his 10 and 20 yard splits on the 40, and pretty much every type of measurable. And he's quite a bit larger than a guy in A-Chain. He's 35 pounds almost bigger than Devin A-Chain was coming out. So a guy with that same type of pop at 30 pounds heavier is very enticing for me with Jalen Wright. He had the highest jumps we've seen of any prospect combined over the last 3 years, which is crazy. And the burst is there. It's my type of back with that type of explosiveness. He's solidly RB2 behind Benson. Still think Benson goes number one, but Jalen Wright, if he falls anywhere, even remotely, that is not in a terrible committee, he's easily a first round pick for me in dynasty drafts right now. Two guys that solidified themselves in a tier above Keon Coleman now are A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas. Both are athletic freaks. Both of them averaged in the 98th percentile or higher in athletic metrics. And the difference between them with the same type of skill set as a guy like Keon Coleman, I just can't keep them even remotely in the same tier. And it's too hard to ignore from a combine metric standpoint. So both of those solidly over Coleman. I already had it like that, but I think they're a little bit closer than I currently had them, with A.D. Mitchell being above Brian Thomas. I think they can be in the same tier now. A quarterback that is really bad at throwing the ball accurately, but definitely has the biggest arm I've ever seen in my life, is Joe Milton. If you haven't seen that combine performance, the dude literally, without effort whatsoever, was throwing the ball 80 yards in the air on a dime. Deep ball is accurate. Intermediate's terrible. His mechanics are really bad. He will make a roster, but that's it. He's just a fun little note from this combine that was pretty fun for me. One guy that tested abysmally that I felt pretty good about coming in is Audric Stem. The testing was just really rough, and it's hard to see on a guy that I liked. None of the bigger backs really have the athleticism to make them difference makers, I think, is what I'm learning at the next level, outside of Braylon Allen. And so he's just a guy that, although I like his game, he's very mediocre athletically, and I probably shouldn't be as high on him as I am. He's a guy that's going to be dropping out of that third tier that I have of running backs and will just kind of fall into the pack for me. Another running back that I'm going to have to watch some more tape on, Isaac Guarando out of Louisville. He came out of nowhere with the speed for me. I'm not going to lie. I am going to have to go back and look at his tape, but out of all the notes that I have from him as a prospect, that doesn't show up in games. You don't see this insane burst, this insane speed. He's literally a 99.9 percentile running back. He's up there, and he's better than everyone else when it comes to his size, because he's 6 foot, 221 pounds, and he ran a 4.33 40. The long speed apparently is there. I just didn't see it coming, so gonna have to rewatch the tape. I wouldn't overreact to it, and definitely go and take a look at yourself. I just remember that he doesn't really have the patience and was running into his running backs, or not running backs, his offensive line a lot on a lot of runs. So it's just something to consider, that I think he's going to need a really open run lane to make this type of speed viable. But it's just something fun. It's a little thing that popped up that people need to go and take a look at, me included. So TBD on how I feel about him, but as of right now, my notes don't say it shows up. And then my overall biggest takeaway that I think is very important as we transition into the free agency period here is that it's going to be a very depressed wide receiver market and a very big running back market in free agent this year. The second tier guys shouldn't be getting the MVS, the Jacoby Meyer contracts the past few years, and there should be a large number of guys most likely returning to their current teams on a team-friendly deal. Yeah, so again, this is specifically for the second tier guys. So like I'm saying, like the Michael Pittmans, the Darnell Mooneys, the Gabe Davises, the Curtis Samuels, I wouldn't expect them to get big contracts this year. They're going to be team-friendly deals, like I mentioned, or they're going to be one-year prove-it deals. I think there's a lot more of the Mecole Hardman one-year $6 million to $8 million range deals as opposed to the 2 for 25, 2 for 30, 3 for 33 was a very common one, kind of how I mentioned with the MVS and Jacoby. I think those ones are kind of dead with how good this wide receiver core is in the draft. And then the RB market, I think it's going to heat up because there's not a ton of hype for this RB class. Like I was saying, you're not going to see a lot of the depressed like David Montgomery or the Jamal Williams after just crazy seasons for both of them getting paid like $8 million a year. I think it's more in the 10 to 12 range for a lot of the guys that are out there because they are going to be valuable, specifically for Barkley, Eckler, Jacobs. I'm not talking long-term, but realistically, there's no reason a team wouldn't hand them a three-year, $30 million deal with $20 million guaranteed. It's just a very safe thing to do to guarantee you have a very good running back on your team. And with how little help most likely is coming in this RB class, although I do like some of the guys, it's just something to take note of. But again, this has been the Combine recap episode. We are going to be hitting pretty heavily team needs and team projections for the NFL draft here over the next couple of weeks. Free agency officially starts next week. I most likely will have a one-week hiatus post this one dropping. As I take note of the teams, it also gives me a little bit of time to actually get my stuff together and all the lines. But I'll be hitting it pretty hard leading up to the draft. And then I will obviously give you my post, my pre and my post rookie draft rankings. And then we start diving into comparisons and all of the guest shows this offseason following the NFL draft. But it's going to be a lot of team fit specific stuff over the next couple of weeks as soon as the free agency period opens up and we get a better idea of what these rosters are looking like going into the draft. Until then, though, have a great time. This has been the Rookie Rundown post-combine, just what matters recap is what I'll call this episode. And I'll catch you guys later.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.